Well, if it were a normal Wednesday, our friend Bruce Pratt would be right here in studio with us. But, of course, things anything but normal.
Yeah.
Bruce is with us by virtue of the telephone. Now, are you still down in Swanville, or are you up in New York?
No, we started to stay in Swanville. That the trip to New York would require, you know, gas stops and rest stops and the like, and just figured that was probably not wise. And both my son and daughter-in-law are working from home, and I had some nice FaceTime with the girls this morning, so they seem to be hanging in. And also, the thought here for us is that, you know, our older son Ben is on the front line here. He's a paramedic and firefighter in Augusta, and we thought maybe it would be better just if we all hunkered down here at the farm. So we haven't been too far off the front 40 in a long time now.
Well, yeah, that's probably the best course of action for everybody who has the opportunity to do that. But good to have you on with us over the phone this afternoon, and we'll take our mind off things for a few minutes by talking about a baseball book that I've been looking forward to ever since I first heard that it was a thing.
Oh, man, you are going to love this. And I think all of our listeners and our devoted readers of books will, because this is, you know, this book is and I always use the word the way it's supposed to be, one of a kind. It's unique to my experience. And the author himself is really interesting. So the story of what happens is, and how it unfolds, is probably as important as anything. The writer's name, Brad Baloukian, and it's called The Wax Patch, and he grew up in Rhode Island. And like some kids in southern New England, my younger son was one of them, he didn't want to get any Yankees Red Sox thing. So because his favorite letter, was F, he became a Phillies fan. And he became obsessed with the Phillies because he is a guy who has suffered all of his life with OCD. And at different times, to the point of it almost being crippling. He also had a stutter as a child. And he became sort of an introvert, but he loved baseball. He loved everything about baseball. He loved going to Pawtucket. He loved going to Fenway. And in 1986, he began collecting baseball cards the way that you and I have known kids who collect them compulsively. And he went on to go to college and become an entomologist. And he teaches at a small college out in Oakland, California. Well, he did at the time of the book. I believe he may be teaching somewhere else now. And he just moved to California. He wanted to be somewhere different. He wanted life to be different. And he got to thinking about baseball. And one day, and I'm advancing the story rather quickly, he bought an unopened wax pack of baseball cards from 1986, that being the year that he first started collecting. And in that pack of 15 players, all of them were still alive, with the exception of the Kansas City Royals great player Al Cowens, who had died quite young from a heart attack. So much like our friend who went out and wanted to sing the national anthem at every minor league park possible, this fellow, Brad, got in his car and with 149,000 miles on it and not a whole lot of money, and he tracked these guys down. Now, some of them he had advanced information and was able to get a hold of them. Some weren't. Carlton Fisk turns out to be just the person I was always told by everybody that ever knew him he was, not a particularly pleasant person. He does everything he can to make sure he doesn't have any contact with Brad, and it's that's a sort of a disappointment for him. But he basically gets everybody else except Gary Pettis. Now, at the time the book was written, I don't think anybody thought about this, but Gary Pettis was the third base coach for the Houston Astros. And the Houston Astros were not allowing anyone but the head coach to speak to the media. Now, it's pretty interesting because when you think about all the things that have been going on now, maybe there was a reason for that. Maybe there wasn't. I'm not really sure. But what is wonderful is his hero when he was a kid was the old Phillies pitcher Don Carmen. And he and Carmen not only meet, but they turn out to have a tremendous time together. And a lot of these players invited him into their homes, took them around what they did. You know, they knew their wives. They knew their wives would want to meet this guy, so he went with them. Some people invited him to dinner 2-3 days in a row. Other people had far less time for him, or some of them wanted to be paid. But it's a remarkable story because he does this basically. He starts driving from California, goes south, goes over to Texas, goes over to Atlanta, goes to Florida, drives up to New York, and then works his way back out across the country. And most of this takes place on one trip. And he keeps a log, and I thought of you as I was reading this, exactly how many cups of coffee and how many miles he's gone each day. But the book has garnered some praise from some big-time people. Jeff Perlman, who wrote Football for a Buck, just raves about it. George F. Will, who, regardless of how one might think about his politics, is a hell of a baseball writer. Jason Stark, senior baseball writer for The Athletic. Lots and lots of people have come to praise the book. What's really funny is that I posted something on about that we'd be talking about this, and Baloukian, who must be one of these people that knows how to use social media, has already started tweeting out what I tweeted about the book being about so much more than just meeting these people. And you learn the story of his life. He has always thought he'd grow up and get married like his parents, and that they would all be married forever, and then late in life his parents divorced. He has not, romance has not worked out well for Brad over time, and he says it's in part because of his longtime struggles with OCD. But it's a remarkably uplifting book. I was, I knew I'd like this because of the quirkiness of it, but I think that it's a book that really reaches down and find something in every human being. It really is a terrific book.
Well, I can't wait to read it. And once we're all reunited here, we're going to get Brad on to talk about the book as well. But again, it's called The Wax Pack. Now, it's not officially out yet, is it?
No, I believe it drops April 1st. And the subtitle is On the Open Road in Search of Baseball Afterlife, 15 picture cards, one stick of bubble gum. We got this really early, and I spoke to the publicity people at the press, and they said, yeah, as soon as we can set it up to get back in. Both he and Robert Fitz, whose book on Issei Baseball we talked about last week, will be on. And also we got two great books coming up if we've got a second. Do we have time?
Oh, of course, yeah.
We have Pitching in the Promised Land, a story of the first and only season in the Israel Baseball League. Man, I'm halfway through this. This is one weird book. If anybody thinks playing in the minors was tough, playing in the minors in Israel was another whole story. And as I say, I'm not completely through with it, but I figure we'll stay with baseball for a while because as much as I'm jonesing hockey, I think more people are probably jonesing baseball. And we just got another great book in called Isabel Lefty Alvarez, The Improbable Life of a Cuban-American Baseball Star. In 1947, she came to America from a very poor background and was one of the All-American Girls Professional Baseball League players and was still alive at the writing of the book. And it's she had a really tough life, and but baseball might have saved her, might have actually saved her life. And then we got some other baseball books, but that's they're coming up down the line.
Now, Bruce, have you heard anything about any of the publishing houses delaying the release of new books that were scheduled to come out here in the next few weeks because of the coronavirus?
I have. In fact, I have some poems coming out in three different anthologies, and they had all been scheduled to be released in April for National Poetry Month. Of course, all the live poetry events in Maine, including Poets Speak, which is I think this was the 18th or 19th year, have had to be canceled. I'm not complaining. It was the right thing to do. I was supposed to do a concert with John Gorka down in Connecticut at the end of next month. That's been canceled. A lot of the publishing houses are putting off publishing some books because if you can make toilet paper in a factory and not make paper for books, they're doing that. Or there are other projects that seem to be more important. But I think it's mostly a business decision that they're waiting until people can go out and buy the books, because the concern is if they release the book now, everyone will order it on Amazon. Mm. And all the local bookstores that rely on things, You know, I mean, it's like I said to people, I said, well, I want to buy this book, but I'm not going to go out. I said, all right, all you have to do is call Gibran up, give him a credit card, pay for the book, and then when it comes in and everything is safe, then you can go get it. And so a lot of writers are encouraging people to order books from their bookstores and pay for them. You know, I just ordered the Penobscot Theater, the online link to see the play.
Right.
You know, there are a lot of things we can do. And I think with publishers right now, boy, if you can buy books, there's a lot of them were pretty close to the edge anyway. And so, yeah, buy some books and just pick them up later.
Absolutely. Good advice indeed. And by the way, Bruce, you're part of the team here as a guy who fills in when I'm away for football or whatever else pulls me out of here. And so, and you're also part of the selection committee for Downtown Madness. And the three of us went round and round on what to do this year, whether we should even do Downtown Madness with all that's going on. And we all came to the understanding that, yeah, we should still do it, but maybe change it up a little bit. And so what we decided is we'll still do our Downtown Madness. We'll still have people vote for their favorite guests of the year, but we're doing a couple of things. One is that we're featuring a lot of those great interviews from the last year, a little later in the next hour, matter of fact, or a conversation with Alice Cooper. But we're also, each time people vote, and that vote will begin on Friday, we're also placing a link there to area arts organizations and nonprofits that are likely to take a hit here during the crisis.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, I had to go out to Belfast yesterday. And, you know, even when the tourists aren't here, it's a pretty busy little town. And I was in the co-op, and I said, gee, it's kind of quiet now. And they said, yeah, and first thing in the morning, we get people rushing in, and then a lot of the day, there are not so many people here. And I thought about all those businesses. And then I thought that at the Belfast Co-op, you can round up your purchase every day, and they donate the money to various nonprofits. And it's thousands of dollars every month. I thought, well, all the people who are not going out and shopping, who are not rounding up that, you know, 10 cents, 15 cents, 45 cents, whatever it is, to go to the local nonprofits, they're not going to get that now. And in our community alone, that's going to be tens of thousands of dollars. So, yeah, if people can find a way to just throw a few bucks at these people to keep them going in the interim, that would be a good thing to do.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, the Penobscot Theater offering their brand-new play, Safety Net, as an online opportunity. We talked with some of the cast members, Julie Lisnett, Amy Rader, last Friday, and they were explaining to us that, look, you buy a ticket, you get a link, and you can watch it online. What a wonderful way to support the theater and still get some great entertainment in your home.
Yeah, and they're offering it a number of times. I didn't know that, you know, exactly how it was going to work until I got my tickets today. I just called the box office, and John took the information, and I got an email. But there are a number of nights which you can watch it, you know, and you got to click in when it starts and be right there. And they have all the instructions whether you're going to watch it on, you can watch it on anything from your Apple Watch to the to your smart TV. And they have all the instructions on how to do that. It's really, they've done a pro job on this. They really deserve a lot of credit.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Bruce, we miss you, my friend. Be well, be safe down there, and we'll check in again next Wednesday, and as soon as possible, we'll get you back here in studio.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm jonesing for not being there, but thanks for all you guys are doing, and we'll talk to you soon.
You got it. Thank you, Bruce. Bruce Pratt, Sports Lit 101 every Wednesday here on Downtown.